Hey, I'm Indigo Moon Annemark, and this is your place to be to awaken your inner woman with soulful conversations on women's wisdom, feminine spirituality, body image, relationships, and sacred sexuality with inspiration for living life true to you and falling in love with your feminine body so you can become the woman you came here to be. Hey, it's Indigo Moon here, and I'm bringing you something really special today. I'm here with Rachel Maddox, who's an amazing and bold woman that recently caught my attention on Facebook when I came across her Kickstarter campaign for her forthcoming book. And as soon as I clicked on the video on her Kickstarter campaign and heard the way she spoke about trauma, I knew I had to bring her to you. So Rachel is a life coach, she's a trauma specialist, and author of the new book, Secret Bad Girl, How I Broke My Long-Standing Sexual Trauma Spell and Grew Vibrant, Vital, and Free. Welcome, Rachel.
Thank you so much for having me, Indigo Moon.
I'm so glad you're here.
That was such a sweet introduction.
So there's two reasons that, I really wanted to invite your wisdom on trauma today. And one is, you know, just the sheer amount of women that experience sexual trauma, which is completely insane. When I dive deep with women into their feminine bodies, it's, you know, it's not uncommon that a lot of women hold stories of sexual trauma and stories of an inner bad girl deep in their bellies and their pelvic bowls. So I know that your work is so needed. And I just love the way you spoke about trauma in your video. And, the other reason is more personal for me. This year has really, you know, the word for this year for me was trauma, and healing. So I haven't experienced any sexual trauma, but your words really resonated with me so deeply. I was in a very, major car accident, earlier this year, and that left me with big injuries and a lot of unresolved trauma in my body. And, you know, the wording you use of the trauma spell, you know, couldn't be more accurate to how, you know, I've gone through these months after the accident. And so even for women that are listening that haven't experienced sexual trauma, trauma comes in so many forms, and the way you speak about it applies so well. And you can say, like, many things came out of that experience, but one of them was that, you know, so many people don't understand trauma at all and don't know what to say to a person that has experienced trauma, which I'm sure you can speak much more to. And another part was that when I experienced trauma, I felt so lucky that I had been geeking out on Peter Levine's work and somatic experiencing. So I knew that when all of these things were happening and people were saying some pretty hurtful things to me about the way trauma was, you know, coming through me. But I knew, you know, this is a natural reaction to the intensity of what I'm experiencing and what I've been through. And I knew where to reach out to. And I almost feel like shouting from the rooftops about trauma, because if people have these tools, if people know where to reach out to, you know, once you're in it, it's, you know, you're not thinking clearly, and it can be really hard to know where do I go? Which is another reason why I got so excited when, I saw what you're sharing with the world.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, my pleasure. So I'd really love if you could start by just maybe speaking a little bit to what the trauma spell is.
Yeah. I'm so excited that you're familiar with Peter Levine's work. Big influencer for me. So this phrase, the trauma spell, is something I actually came up with because I felt like, okay, people talk about trauma and you think that it's maybe something that's happening like right now, or it's kind of confusing. Like, what is trauma?
Mm.
And trauma is actually a physiological response to threat or violation that's suspended in fear after the fact. So if something scary happens, you get in a car accident, you experience sexual violence. Trauma is the delayed physiological response.
Mm.
It's what happens a month later, 2 months later, 7 months later, 7 years later, where when something triggers you and reminds you of that event, your body still goes into fight, flight, or freeze. However, the trauma spell is the low-grade fear that you're living in, that you don't know you're living in after you've experienced violation or something violent that's affected your nervous system.
Mm.
So you can be walking around in the world, maybe you got raped, and you've done your best to make like emotional peace with it, but you're still feeling really weird and off for like a year or 2 years, and you don't really understand why.
Mm.
Because you've done all of this psychological work or spiritual work, and yet there's still something wrong. This is the trauma spell. Because 2 years later, you're not going to be thinking that the reason why something's wrong and you're, like, the reason why your whole life is still feeling like you're under a cloud is because of the time you got raped 2 years ago, or the time you got raped when you were 13, or the time you got in that accident when you were 7.
Mm.
So our bodies, we have a natural blueprint of health. The moment we're born, the moment we're conceived, we come into this earth. All living things, trees, animals, plants, have a natural blueprint of health that nothing can ever destroy or break or taint in any way.
Mm.
However, we also have imprints that will happen on top of our blueprint. Imprints can be bad, like accidents or violations, and imprints can be good, like falling in love and orgasms. And when those imprints happen on top of the blueprint, and this is something my teacher Bridget Viskins taught me, when those imprints happen on top of the blueprint, we feel masked from our blueprint. We feel distanced from our blueprint of health, and we forget how vital and alive we are.
Mm.
Now, of course, all of this is happening subconsciously below your conscious mind, which is why I call it a spell, because it's something you don't know is happening.
Mm. Mm. I love that reminder of that just core goodness.
Yeah.
That, you know, there's something much deeper that you can really trust.
Yeah.
In, you and know, that everything you can that's
resource.
Happened. Yeah.
So when somebody's trying to resolve their trauma, often, and this is one of the things that is maybe a little bit less exciting about Peter Levine's work, or a lot of just mainstream trauma work, you go into it and they're like, here's what trauma is, and here are these little things you can do to heal trauma. And it's sort of like looking for the problem and trying to solve the problem, as opposed to looking for the resource and growing the resource bigger. So that's more my perspective with trauma resolution, is around this natural blueprint of health and its inherent treatment plan. So your natural blueprint of health, mine, they have an inherent treatment plan in case anything ever goes wrong. And that includes fight, flight, or freeze. That includes maybe numbing out for 5 years sometimes, because the body knows what it needs. And yet, when the body's ready to wake up, how do we wake it up? Do we wake it up by knocking on the problem? Or do we wake it up by inviting that natural blueprint of health to come back online bigger than ever before? So I try for the latter.
Yeah. And that was actually my experience too with the person I was working with too, like reaching out for resources first. And which gives so much strength in a time where you're in many ways so defeated. You're at your lowest. And I just love what you said and how your body knows what it needs. I love that reminder, because I know for me, just knowing that, you know, whatever your body is doing, you know, there's such wisdom. There's wisdom in the trauma. There's wisdom in everything that we express and go through, no matter how dark or out of control it seems.
Totally. And I love that, because there's such a stigma. there's such a stigma around trauma, I think. Mm-hmm. But I mean, there's, first of all, there's so much misinformation, but when you figure out that the reason why you're kind of messed up is because of your trauma, it's really like a shameful, weird thing. But that shame's not yours. That shame is something put on you from society, like, because we just don't have enough information about how to break this stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm just so happy to be doing that as much as I can.
Yeah. Yeah, I know from, like, I was very, you know, I'd say in a way I've been, you know, I haven't had the opportunity before to talk so much about trauma as I have had this year, because nothing has happened in a way where I've really engaged that conversation. So now that I've had engaged the conversation, I really was surprised by people's response to it and how, like, how little people know about trauma and the understanding they bring to it. Like, it was completely shocking to me.
Yeah, I have a funny little story about that, which is about 6 months ago, I was driving Uber for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And I was using Uber as sort of like a market analysis pool. So every time somebody got in the car and they asked me, they especially asked me because I was a woman, like a young white woman, like they couldn't possibly imagine that Uber was my only job. So they would ask, like, you know, what else do you do? And I'm in D.C., so it's very much like that. And I would test people. I would tell some people that I was like a singer-songwriter. I would tell some people that I was a life coach. And I would tell some people that I was a trauma specialist. Now, I wasn't a trauma specialist at the time. Like, I wasn't, but I knew a lot, and I was just doing this experiment.
Mm.
And every time I mentioned trauma, we talked the entire time, the entire car ride, about trauma. It was because people had so much curiosity, so little information.
Yeah.
And it was so resonant because everybody's experiencing trauma in our society right now.
Yeah.
Because we live in a society of violence and violation. And at the same time, you know, we also, as a society, have a natural blueprint of health. So we've got this funny dance going on, right, between, like, new age people or, like, super positive people who want to just focus on the light and love, and then people who are stuck in their reptilian brains, like,
yes,
fight, flight, or freeze, like, wanting to go to war, and then people wanting to, you know, stay in their psychological spaces. So there's all these interesting things happening in response to the trauma that we're experiencing globally, but no one's really naming it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, no one's saying, like, hey, we're all a little hijacked and we have the capacity to come back to our natural blueprint of health. And, you know, I feel like it would be a helpful conversation. So
totally.
All that to say, people love talking about trauma, which was also very surprising to me.
Yeah, that is kind of surprising. Did you, what were some of the, like, the misbeliefs you came up against or kind of discovered as you were talking to so many different people about trauma?
Yeah, the biggest misbelief that I hear is that once you have trauma, it's like a life sentence.
Mm.
That it's not resolvable is definitely the biggest misconception.
Mm. So what do you say to that?
You can totally resolve your trauma, and trauma can actually even go extinct, which is crazy to think about. If you've been living with trauma for a long time, you're like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a natural process. So normally our bodies, without proper guidance, because the reptilian brain is taking over and kind of hijacking our higher level thinking and our entire nervous systems, when we get triggered, what happens is we have an activation spike in our energy. So we move from kind of calm, sort of regulated, to energy spiking. Oh my God, I'm either going to fight, flight, or freeze in like 0.2 seconds right now.
Mm.
And normally what we do in response to that is we self-soothe. So we'll, you know, drink, like, have some alcohol, have some pot, eat food, maybe, like, call a friend, maybe watch TV or numb out on Facebook. Like, we'll do something that brings our regulation down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
if we can't catch ourselves from that, if we can't self-soothe, if we can't catch ourselves from that activation spike, then we can start to spiral. And we get really activated. So this is when, like, something small happens and you're triggered for 3 days.
Mm.
Like, somebody says something to you and your body boils for a whole 12 hours.
Yeah.
Or you go straight from, like, maybe a moment of rage to feeling like you have to lay down and, like, lay in a black hole for 3 days and not move. However, if you can, in your body, when you start to feel a trigger activate, if you can find a point of stillness or possibly a resource, and the resource could be as simple as your feet on the ground or looking at a stone or thinking of your favorite place in nature, a resource that helps you find stillness and peace. If you can kind of meditate on that resource while something activates in you and just give your body maybe 5 or 10 minutes, there's a wave, a natural wave of energy that will move up and then back down and all the way out. And that's when you're shedding, your body is shedding an imprint. Your body is shedding an imprint. Every time you allow that natural process to complete, and you'll walk away feeling like you have a little more energy, and that's because your blueprint's coming back online.
Yeah.
So when you work with, just to finish up with the extinction thing, when you work with somebody who can kind of supercharge that process of resolving or expelling an imprint, and let's say you work with, like, somebody who's super masterful at that for 3 or 4 sessions, you can literally have the feeling of the physiological trigger gone. Like, you would never get triggered physiologically. You might have a memory of an experience in your mind, but your body will be completely restored back to health. And, like, nothing will bother it. It's just completely whole again. And so that's what extinction is.
And that's pretty magical if you've experienced trauma. Like, beyond magical.
Yeah. Like, I have not experienced extinction, but my teacher was telling me about this, how this has happened for a few people that she has worked with, which is super cool.
Yeah, that's amazing. So, like, with that, I'm kind of, like, just feeling into more in this, like, I know you wrote something about how to not inflict trauma when you're talking about trauma. And I'm kind of thinking about, like, both sides of the conversation, perhaps. I know that something that I wasn't aware of in the first months of the trauma was that I was really reactivating the trauma when I was talking to people in the way I was talking about it. And I wasn't aware of that. And I was really, like, kind of driving myself deeper and deeper into sort of post-traumatic stress. And in the way I was, you know, having conversations about it at the same time as well, having conversations about with people that didn't understand trauma. So what are some words of wisdom to sort of navigating that, like how to not inflict trauma when we talk about trauma from both sides of the conversation?
Yeah, I love that question. And it's a really interesting question, because if you really take to heart the belief that your natural blueprint has an inherent treatment plan, then it's possible that you spiraled further into PTSD by talking about trauma so that you would get the help you needed. Like, it's possible that there was some wisdom in that, some unconscious wisdom in activating your trauma. And I want to say that too, because a lot of times there's these conversations about what's right and wrong to do. Like 5 years ago, I shared something on my blog back in the day, and it was just like a little blogger blog, but it was 101 things I never thought I'd tell you about sex. And I included my story. This is the first time I ever publicly did this, but it was because I had already written one post that was 101 things I never thought I'd tell you. So I was like, oh, I'm going to follow up with the sex stuff. And I got a message from a woman who was a mentor of mine who told me I should never, ever talk about my trauma like that and that I would re-trigger myself and re-trigger and trigger other people who were listening.
Mm.
And that was so hard for me to handle because, or for my system to even handle because, one, I had done something that was really vulnerable and it was an attempt for liberation.
Yeah.
And maybe it was a messy attempt, but maybe it was perfect. And, you know, so it's like nobody wants to be the wrecking ball. Nobody yeah. wants to be the person who kicks up the dust on their own trauma or someone else's. But it might be part of the healing plan. Like, we have to have that activation spike in order to come back down, in yeah. order to, like, allow the imprint out of the body. It has to come up. So that's the disclaimer.
Yeah, I love that. I really love that.
That you can't mess up. Yeah. The other part, though, you know, the other side of it is, I would just say to pay attention to your physiology is really the wisdom I would offer on that.
Mm.
Both if you're somebody who's sharing information or, like, for me, for instance, I'm sharing my story. Is it a triggering experience for me to share my story?
Mm.
If it is, if it's activating a ton in me just to share, like, publicly or something, I might want to consider sharing in a space that whoever I'm sharing with or whatever medium I'm sharing on, I'm going to be met with grounded wisdom about what to do or just grounded, like, support and love. And on the other hand, like, if you're talking about trauma, you know, your own trauma, like you got in an accident or something, again, I would just say listen to your physiology because your body's going to guide you. Your body's going to tell you, like, yeah, actually, I wanted to ream on this. I wanted to talk about it, and I wanted to spike and, you know, maybe have some resources on hand for helping you soothe or for helping you resolve and move to the other side. So that's not the answer I was expecting to say. I was expecting to say, like, don't talk about your trauma because you'll trigger other people.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's okay.
But, you know, I really love that. I really love that because it resonates with something that, you know, I talk about all the time about, you know, trusting. Trust your anger. Trust your emotions. Trust your depression. Trust your grief. Trust all these things that are happening to guide you home. And trust what's happening in your body. So I really love what you're reminding us of there.
I love that.
Alongside with discernment, of course, alongside with support, like all of it, sort of in the magic pot of life.
But nobody's ever going to like it if you trigger them. And if you really want to like for me, I'm sure I'm pissing people off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sure I'm triggering people and I'm sorry. Like, I don't want to, but it's a trade-off because the information that, like, information about trauma often isn't paired with information or with stories of sexual violence. You know, you've got all these events where people will tell their story, or you've got all these scientific books where people will talk about trauma. And people rarely put them together. What happens at those events or when you're reading somebody's, you know, traumatic story is if you've had trauma, you're probably going to get triggered in your body. And I'm here to put them together. Like, I'm going to tell my story. It might activate you, but I'm going to give you information for resolving your activation like, directly afterward. So.
Yeah, beautiful. Let's open the door to what feels like darkness and, you know, I'll walk with you into it and out of it.
Yeah.
So what was it like for you, you know, before resolving your trauma, when you were living with your secret bad girl?
My secret bad girl had sex with so many people that she had no, like, emotional or spiritual connection with.
Mm.
And this is also a really interesting thing, because if you've had trauma and you're having all of this sex, like shouldn't you stop having sex if you've had sexual trauma? Mm. Which does happen for some people. They lose all sexual appetite. Other people will become super promiscuous.
Mm.
And it's because, and it also maybe depends on the age, but anyway, it's because as you are trying to resolve your trauma, you often will go back to the place of injury and attempt a do-over.
Mm.
But if your body is still kind of contorted with the imprint of violation, you're going to end up having repeat experiences,
mm.
which is really wild. So my secret bad girl had a lot of, like, she was very promiscuous. And I'm totally, like, pro-sex, so I don't have any issues with promiscuity, mm. but she was having sex that violated her soul and her body.
Yeah.
She was consistently broke, like, broke, like, no joke, broke.
mm.
And had a lot of fear around fully embodying her power and her brilliance. Like, even just a year ago, I had some work partners telling me that I was brilliant, and my whole body turned to fire. There was so much resistance to my power and to my brilliance, because I knew that embodying my brilliance was going to have to mean shedding the trauma, like shedding the lie that something was wrong with me.
Yeah, so
I just didn't
wow.
even want to go there.
Yeah.
And she got thrown a lot. Like, it was really easy for her to spend 2 or 3 days, like, in an emotional spell of sadness that she really just didn't know where it came from or why it was there. And all of this was hidden. All of it.
Mm.
None of this was public knowledge. Maybe a little bit of a little emo Instagram picture here and there. But this is predominantly hidden.
Mm.
And on the outside, I looked normal. I looked
yeah.
confident. I looked fine. Which is why it's the secret bad girl complex.
Yeah.
Nobody knows. It's a secret to you why it's happening, and it's a high likelihood that you're going to keep it a secret from others.
Yeah. So do you remember a time where you sort of, like, stopped in your tracks and you sort of, like, realized this trauma spell, or you saw what you were doing from a different perspective, or what was that like for you? There was a type of turning point, or what was your...
Yeah, well, there was lots of moments. I mean, pretty much every time, like, I'd be having sex with someone for a few weeks, and then I'd be like, this is terrible, I have to stop. So I would go back and forth between, like, promiscuity and celibacy. Like, but the truth is, I knew I had a quote-unquote problem for a long time, and I knew I needed to deal with my sexual trauma probably for, like, 4 years before I got professional help.
Mm.
And the only reason I got professional help was because I had melanoma in my vagina.
Yeah.
And I had to have surgery. Well, I don't know if I had to, but I had surgery.
Yeah.
And I had it removed. And when I had that surgery, I had so much pain in my vagina, like, for months, that I was completely incapable of functioning. Like, mm. I was just a total mess. And at that point I knew, because I knew that I needed to quote unquote deal with my vagina for like 4 years and hadn't. So at that point I was like, it's time, I have to go. And that's when I, Googled for, like, I went through the somatic experiencing website and looked around for people. And I found this one woman in my area who has just totally changed my life. She's a brilliant, magician of sorts. And she's my teacher now, and I've worked with her. I'm going through her training called Alchemical Alignment. And, yeah, so that's sort of how I figured it out. I mean, I had lots of moments, and then after that, after I worked with her for a while and resolved a lot of that trauma, I remember specifically there was this one friend of mine who, I had just met him, and we were at a bonfire, and... he and I had, like, some chemistry, And he asked me if, like, we wanted to hang out and do a massage trade sometime. Mm-hmm. And everything in me, like, in the past, I might have been, like, feeling a little nervous in my body, but saying yes anyway, because that was what I was imprinted for. Like, yeah. You're nervous in your body, and you do it anyway, right? Mm-hmm. That was my old imprint. And now, after I'd gone through this process with Bridget, my new imprint was, you feel nervous in your body, you say, fuck no.
Mm.
And so I literally was like barked at him, like this man I had met that night, who was a perfectly lovely human. I was like, no, I have no interest in that. Don't ask me again. And then like a month later, I had to tell him, like, sorry, I kind of yelled at you that first night because I was just a little bit like, you know, ripe with my no, like, just learning it, just need to practice. He was like, no problem.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
That's so beautiful though. You're in a woman, like, no.
Yeah, and it's amazing, too, because, like I said, my imprint was when you feel nervous in your body, you say yes anyway.
Mm, yeah.
That was my imprint because that's what happened at my violating experience that I hadn't worked out in my body yet.
Yeah.
Once it was worked out, and Bridget did a lot of work with me both to excavate that imprint, and then also to reactivate the health of my no that was just waiting to come back online. Because everybody has a no.
Yeah.
Like, if you're a two-year-old, you look at children, like, they have no's. Like, they know when they don't want to do something, and they will scream and cry and tell you.
Yeah, they'll stop
and
the floor.
Shut down. Yeah. So it's natural. No is natural.
Yeah. Yeah, no is completely beautiful and valid and so necessary. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about some of the, you know, your no, and what other things did you reclaim on your journey of, like, trauma resolution? What were some of the things that you brought home to yourself again?
I think my favorite thing I brought home was my voice, like my song.
Mm.
I started letting myself sing all the time, and I even went on a music tour. Like, I had been secretly writing songs, you know? And then once my trauma resolved and I felt much more just confident and embodied and comfortable, I just decided, I want to go on a music tour. I'd never even, like, played a whole show for anybody. But I did it. I, like, planned a tour, a nationwide tour. I, like, played at 7 different houses and it was just so much fun, like, to let myself feel all of my power and all of my beauty. And it was interesting because I'm going, like, place to place, and every single place I went to, like, somebody fell in love with me, which I think is just, like, rock star syndrome, you know? But it was a really funny experience to have when I was really, like, resolving my trauma. Like,
yeah.
When normally, maybe if I was in that situation and somebody's, like, all into me, it would have ended up with, like, me having sex with them or something. But none of that happened. It was super clean.
Mm.
It was, like, all of my power was mine, and people were magnetized to that power, but I wasn't leaking it or giving it away. It was contained. So that was, like, I think that's still just my favorite part of this whole resolution. And then sharing this story and writing this book, like, I would have never been able to do this. Obviously, I couldn't have done it, the content, if I hadn't resolved the trauma. But another amazing thing is my family and I have had profound forgiveness with each other.
Mm.
So this is another thing that I want to mention. And I just love that you asked this question because it's really focusing on the positive. But so often when, especially with sexual violence, you know, something that feels really psychological.
Yeah.
It can often feel safest to try to do all the psychological things first. Like, let me try to create boundaries. Let me try to forgive someone. Let me try to, like, improve my feelings of self-worth or my self, image to myself.
Mm.
But the problem is when your physiology is still hijacked, those things are really hard to do because you're going to keep getting triggered and going back to your imprinted reality.
Mm.
So once my physiology resolved, I've had amazing forgivenesses with my family, like my parents, who I didn't get the kind of support I needed from them when I was younger, and this stuff happened. And I think I held a lot of anger towards them that I didn't even really realize was connected to this. So our whole family has had like a really beautiful healing, and there's so much more like love and peace and happiness in my family.
Mm.
I also called a guy who raped me when I was older, when I was 25, and confronted him, and and actually told him that I forgave him. And then the last part is there was a close friend of mine who actually kind of invited and encouraged me into the experience that caused that initial loss of virginity to statutory rape. She was a friend of mine that was my age, who was having sex with the same older man. And she and I, like, basically had a huge falling out, obviously.
Yeah.
And we hadn't talked in a decade. And I called her, and I just asked her, like, how are you? Like, what happened for you? And she was also, you know, she is probably still living under the trauma spell. But it was such an amazing liberation for her to have me call her and for us to talk about that experience and for there to be total forgiveness between us. So just a lot of forgiveness. And I go into all of these stories in the book, actually. So a lot of beautiful forgiveness.
Yeah,
and,
I have,
empowerment and embodiment.
Oh, it's so beautiful. I have, like, goosebumps over my whole body when you're saying it. Just the sheer power of, like, opening up to all that coming home. It's so beautiful, what your story with that.
Yeah.
So beautiful. And so, like, wow, like, how inspiring in a world where so much trauma occurs, in a world where so many women do experience sexual trauma, it's so nurturing and so nourishing to hear that story, you know, of working through the trauma and actually coming home on the other side.
Yeah, I love that phrase of it too, coming home, because I've literally done a majority of my trauma resolution at home with my parents. I moved home when I had the melanoma. So that's also, like, really unexpected, right? Like, our families can be the places where we're most triggered and most, you know, stressed out. Especially, I mean, obviously, if you've experienced violation inside your family, it might be different. But, like, it might not be something you're willing to do, which is totally respectful. But, yeah, it's definitely been a homecoming in every way.
Mm. So I feel like, you know, you're describing, like, how, you know, it really, like, now when I, you know, I've just, you know, met you, come across you, but, you know, I see you, you know, sharing with a lot of vulnerability in the world. I see you really sharing your truth. And then I'm also thinking about how you're sharing that, you know, you went on this concert tour and you're really, like, moving out, after this experience of trauma or after the resolution. So, I'm curious about sort of your journey with moving into your vulnerability and taking up space and finding your voice. Did that feel like it came pretty organically once sort of the trauma was resolved? Or, like, what is your journey currently, which is, you know, being a human and, you know, working all these edges that we all need regardless of trauma, like working our own edges of being vulnerable in the world and sharing our voice and sharing our work.
Yeah. Well, I'll be totally honest. I think that I'm inherently prolific and inherently willing to kind of share, maybe more than other people are.
Mm.
So I won't say that that in particular is a result of resolving my trauma. I think I've always shared a lot.
Yeah.
Which is part of the reason why this trauma spell, like, was kind of a secret, you know what I mean? Like, part of the reason why maybe on the outside it looks unexpected, like, that I was carrying this thing that felt like it was holding me back, because I probably on the outside looked like I was already coming forward.
Mm.
So I just say that because when you return to wholeness, when people return to wholeness, it looks different for everyone.
Yeah.
And that's okay. You know, right now we sort of have this obsession with putting ourselves out there.
Mm.
And it's not necessary for everyone. Mm. It happens to be like something I like. Like, I'm an artist. I always will be. I will always want to express myself. And I like sharing the vulnerable truth. Now, in the past, when I shared that vulnerable truth, I might have gotten triggered because I might have felt like I've shared too much, or I'm not safe sharing mm. this much of myself.
Mm.
And I don't feel that way now. I feel like maybe I'll annoy some people because I'm showing up a lot, but oh well, they'll be fine. But yeah, I just want to say, like, it might not be, we don't all have to have the same goal.
Yeah.
Like, you might want to go live on the land, or you might just get more connected to the truth of your dream and how you can move toward it. Like, you might just start feeling more confident moving into your power, and your power can look any number of ways.
Totally, yeah. Yeah, I love that. Really coming back to what that journey looks like for us. And what it looks like for us right now, and what it, you know, may look like tomorrow and another day, and really coming back all the time to ourselves and our center. Really love that. So you're in the process of finishing up your book, Secret Bad Girl. And I kind of tend to think that, like, these kinds of projects and the things we do in the world, they kind of call our name and they come as an initiation for us. So I'm really curious, like, what did you have to move through in the journey of bringing this book to life? Like, what type of initiation was it for you, if you would even call it an initiation? Like, that's my way of wording it.
Oh my God, it's definitely an initiation. Well, okay, the story, as briefly as I can tell it, is that I was working on a multimedia resolution guide. That was my plan.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to include videos and music and poetry and resources for people. And then my friend sent me this webinar to this woman, Angela Loria, who's a book publisher. And I watched this webinar, and she was interviewing somebody who was one of her authors. And they were having an event, like, an hour from my house over the next 3 days. And the event was called 3 Days to Done. And you finished your book in 3 days.
Mm.
And then after that, they would help you publish it and edit it and market it and get it out into the world in a way that would be successful. And so I'm looking at this webinar and I'm thinking, crap, like, I need to go do that because I'm going to try over here, like, to do this thing by myself. And I may succeed. I may hit my deadline. I may bail on myself. I'm not exactly sure.
Mm.
I know this work needs to be in the world.
Mm.
And so I'm going to call that woman. So I get her phone number from my friend. She's like, sure, you can come, but it's $8,000 and I need the money before you come. I'm like, crap, I don't have this money. So I literally called everyone that had money that I knew, like, from my childhood. Like, I called people that I would never have called. And I asked for personal loans.
Mm.
And again, as all this was happening, I was thinking, I would have never done this in the past. And I don't know that there's any other calling that I would do this for.
Mm.
And that's how I knew I was, like, really devoted and really committed to this mission and this work. So I had an exceptionally crazy thing happen, which is I raised the money in, like, 5 hours.
Wow. That's amazing.
Which I've never done anything like that in my whole life, you know? And I packed up my stuff, and I drove over that night, that Thursday night, and it was a Friday, Saturday, Sunday event. And the whole time I was writing the book, I felt really calm in my body. I felt really, like, centered and calm. And then as soon as I pressed send, at the very end to the editor. I had a total expelling of an imprint is what I would call it now. But at the time it felt really horrible because my whole body was on fire. I was just like having my friend described it as like when a woman births a baby too quickly, how her body can kind of like, how she can freak out because it wasn't supposed to happen that fast. Like you're not supposed to birth the baby in 30 minutes. Like you're not supposed to birth a book in 3 hours. I mean, in 3 days, but I did. So I had to really work with my nervous system then too. And I had to really like come to terms with actually I can be the mother for my own secret bad girl and the secret bad girls of the world. So it totally felt like an initiation into motherhood, actually. And funny enough, when I had had my surgery on my vagina, I kept feeling like it was an initiation into motherhood. And not for birthing a baby, but for something I didn't know what it was. And now I know. Now I know that this whole thing was an initiation so that I could mother these secret bad girls who have no mother. Like, no one is telling them what they need to hear. And so that's what I feel like I've been initiated into.
Oh, yum. That is so beautiful.
Yeah, I love that question.
That just feels really delicious to listen to what you just said. Oh, I love that. The initiation into these, to mothering these secret bad girls. That's really beautiful. And I love, you know, just that the experiences, you know, lining up all of a sudden there's a golden thread through all of it.
Exactly. And the mother of the secret bad girls, like, she can raise $8,000 in a day. She can, you know, write the book in 3 days. She can run a Kickstarter, have new clients, and edit the book. Like, she can work 2 jobs if she needs, like, she can work 16 hours a day for 2 or 3 months if she needs to get what's needed, to provide what's needed for the family. Like, she can do what it takes. And I'm not saying, like, my goal is to be working 16 hours a day for the rest of my life, but right now it's what's required. And I'm totally willing, actually, happily willing, because it's my job right now.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with it.
Yeah, and I'm thinking something else she also has is that, you know, really quiet strength that carries you through the intensity of those initiations. Like, that's something that I find so beautiful. That's, you know, really at the core of, you know, our inner selves, our soul, our inner woman.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're at the final moon cycle of the year that's going to carry us into a new year. What are you celebrating and savoring from this year that has passed?
This year was the craziest year of my whole life. I'm celebrating my resilience and my empowerment completely. Yeah. And my family. I'm celebrating, like, all that I've received. I've received so much support. And I feel, like, really deeply grateful to be here with my family right now.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So, what are you celebrating?
I'm still at the point where I'm just celebrating being alive. I'm really meeting the end of this year very differently than I have before. You know, it almost still feels like, you know, I'm on this gift of time. You know, it's almost surreal. So, I'm so grateful for being alive and for being here, and I'm grateful for, you know, everything that trauma has taught me and the support I had along the way.
Totally.
Yeah. So what are some of the things that, you know, you've got in the works for people? You have a Kickstarter going right now. Raising money for the completion of your book. And you're also doing coaching, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so the Kickstarter's live until the 30th of December. And there are all kinds of rewards over there if you want to support the book and this work, this mission. You can buy the book. You can buy trauma resolution sessions with me. You can buy, like, a Discovering Your Inner Sex Goddess session. There's all kinds of goodies over there. There's writing sessions with other people that are really great. But yes, I'm doing coaching, and I have a 10, session program called Breaking the Trauma Spell. So if you've experienced trauma and you would love to resolve it, this is a really great place to start.
Ooh, my dogs are barking.
They want you to join. And I also just do regular one-on-one life coaching. I wouldn't really call it regular, but I do 3-month programs and 6-month programs for people who really want to move from one way of being in the world to a completely transformed and new way of being.
Mm, beautiful. Yeah. Is there anything you want to share before we wrap up? I'm so nourished by everything you've shared today.
I'm just so grateful for you. This was a beautiful interview. You really pulled a lot of gems out of me, and I really appreciate you for that. Thank you.
My pleasure. And I just, you know, it's my, I hope so much that, you know, your work will be spread wide and far, because I see it as, like, so necessary and so beautiful. And I just love the voice that you're bringing to trauma. It's so necessary.
Yeah.
I just love that you're doing
totally.
That.
I feel the same way.
Yeah, and you know, for all the women that have experienced sexual trauma, but even just for, you know, someone like me that was through a really violent car accident, when I saw your video, I was like, she gets it. She knows what trauma is. You know, because when there's so many people that don't, so just you bringing that voice to trauma, I think, is just such necessary medicine for our both very beautiful and wounded world.
Definitely. And thank you so much for helping me amplify the voice.
I had to. I was compelled.
Yay.
So thank you so much, Rachel.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. I hope you found some treasures in this interview with Rachel. Most of us will face trauma or know someone facing trauma at some point or another in our lives. So growing our understanding for trauma is so important so we can support ourselves and each other. And I deeply hope that we'll all remember that you can resolve trauma, and that if you're in the thick of trauma, know that it's a completely natural and healthy reaction to what you've experienced. And that, like Rachel said, within you carry the blueprint of health that will guide you home with the right support. So please head over to Rachel's Kickstarter campaign and help get her beautiful book into the world. And before you go, don't forget to leave your name and email in the box on this page so we can stay in touch. I'll be bringing you lots more goodness for awakening your inner woman, falling in love with your feminine body, and living life true to you, right here at Indigo Moon Eden Park.